This episode of Totes Recall, this extra special extrasode episode, is brought to you by executive producer Josh Young. Josh, thank you for being such an incredible Totes head and Patreon member, and thank you for executive producing this podcast, where you will soon be revealed the title of the movie that we are watching. Ignore what you see on your screen.
Don't look. Just press play.
Just push play.
Wait, you already did.
Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well. We push pause in the recording and we push play on the movie.
Oh.
And on eating two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Then come back. Second half of the show and the record is us talking again about that same movie. How'd it go for us this time? We find out. We remember it better for sure, 100%.
Hopefully.
And see how it held up in this day and age, given are 35 years of age. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very extra special extrasode episode, is Mannequin.
Wow.
A movie.
Yes.
It is a movie. We are told it's a movie.
I've seen it.
You have.
Probably.
I have the same feeling. I honestly do not know if I have seen it or not.
I have definitely seen part of it. I have a memory of sitting on my fainting couch.
I'm sorry. Back up.
Has this detail never been revealed?
No. In what phase of your life did you have a fainting couch?
It is still in my father's home. Okay. And it was there.
On his estate.
Yes. It was there my whole life, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's a antique heirloom Chiquette furniture piece.
Yes. So probably real ladies, like 1800s ladies, have fainted?
Potentially.
The Chiquette clan.
I don't know the full provenance of this couch. The fainting couch, but it was it's the couch in the TV room.
Nice.
That and the rocking chair were the two pieces we sat upon, and then someone usually had to sit on the floor.
Sure.
But I was watching it, like, it was on TV. This was, I caught part of it on cable. And I can't say how much of it I watched, but I remember the only scene I remember, we're in a department store, big staircase, mannequins coming down the staircase.
No.
Great.
Oh, like animated mannequins? Or like
no.
people?
Like the actor.
Do we know the premise of this movie as
no,
a group?
I don't know anything about this movie, because I think people know this about me. I'm terrified of mannequins.
I did not know that.
I think it came up once, like 8 years ago on the show.
Okay, terrified's not the right word. Like, I can go into a department store and be fine, but they give me the creeps.
They're weird.
I always feel like there's somebody standing behind me or watching me, and I don't like that feeling.
I had a friend in college whose mother was a
mannequin?
Seamstress, tailor, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Some tinker, spy.
Yeah. And we went to her house once. And I had never been there before, and it was there in the evening. So, like, the sun had recently set. And
witching hour.
Yes, indeed. And on her front porch were a number of dress forms and mannequins that were, like, very creepily lit.
What's the dress form? Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad. I don't know, actually. What do you think it sounds like?
Yeah.
It's like a mannequin, but it's just, like, waist down or maybe
waist
shoulder down. It's like just the dress part.
There's
no head.
It's a torso.
There's no legs.
Yeah.
No arms. Yeah.
Torso. It's a torso.
But it's got like a.
It doesn't have to.
Have you seen Project Runway?
Some of it.
That's what they use.
They're using dress forms. And so you can pin into it, right? It's not like hard plastic.
And some of them are like adjustable and you can expand them in different ways to fit whatever.
I think it's what I'm thinking
size.
Of.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
That sounds terrifying.
There was a part of me that just like, is this even his mom's house? Like, have I been lured here?
By an evil witch.
Evil murderer.
It's very creepy.
It's unsettling.
Like, cardboard cutouts can do that too. Just like the silhouette.
Yeah.
Dolls. They're like big dolls.
Oh,
right?
Definitely dolls.
Yikes.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting, the evolution of mannequins over time. Like now sometimes they're just torsos.
Oh.
Oh.
And people are using more creative ways to show clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Also more body types represented in mannequins mm-hmm. these days. Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I can handle most mannequins, but a disassembled mannequin, oof, for whatever reason,
terrifying,
triggers the idea that it will assemble itself, yes, and start walking towards me.
But like assemble itself wrong.
Oh.
Right?
I didn't even think about that. So but like yeah, one of the there's
arms
just
is a leg.
Yeah, like, yeah, there must have been something that I've seen that was there created a creepy that mannequin idea
in Blade Runner.
There were like weird doll toy things.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh man, this reminds me. When I was in college, there was a friend of mine who
Yuri,
who is an artist, and she did her art form for her senior project was dolls that she created, but she gave them all pubic hair.
Wow,
that's college art.
That's,
that's college art.
Yes, I love it.
Gave them pubic hair on their pubic region.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's college, baby.
That's was it real pubic hair?
I don't think it was real.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But I think it was college, made.
Yeah.
It was made to be pretty realistic,
like merkins. Like she got some merkins and put them on.
No, I mean, it was handcrafted.
You could handcraft a merkin.
I guess so.
You can like go to merkinsuppliersstore.com or whatever. Yeah. And
I'm just saying there were no shortcuts.
Yeah.
Excellent dolls.
Excellent
but
pubic hair.
They were all.
This long movie has Kim Cattrall in it.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, wait, hold on. That's already too much information. Beth.
Yeah.
The unions are demanding.
They've reached a tentative agreement.
They've reached a tentative agreement with the AMTP, but one of the stipulations is that you at least do a Union Strong Totes pre-call of the movie Mannequin.
Okay.
I also have not seen it, but I know three facts about it. I don't know if I've seen it.
That's why I'm hesitant to join in.
On the spreadsheet, you said you didn't.
Mm.
Wow. Only Dan Jaquette claimed.
But I filled that out years ago, didn't I?
That doesn't matter. Your memory is no better now.
But what if I've seen it since then?
You definitely have not.
You would know.
You would know.
That's not true.
In the last 9 years? All right.
Come on.
I think you can join in because I think it's more
I'll
fun.
Do the time.
All right.
I have a timer. 3, 2, 1, go.
I don't know if this is a scary movie or like a comedy.
Great. Keep going. Roll with
so
it.
So like if it's scary, there's a mannequin in a department store or mannequins and they come to life.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they are terrorizing the town.
Ooh, there is a man who works in the mall. I don't even know if it's for this department store, but he is horned up for that mannequin.
Okay, so it's maybe not a scary movie.
It could be. It still could be.
It could be a scary rom-com.
Yes.
Okay.
Where a man fantasizes about a mannequin and they ride a motorcycle together.
Okay.
And nobody 15 understands.
Seconds. 15 seconds left.
Sorry, I'm taking notes too.
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure there is somehow an Egyptian curse involved because this was the 80s and every 80s movie is insane.
What?
Wow.
Okay. Time. Love.
I have to apologize. That was not my best timekeeping.
Wow.
Wow.
I was distracted.
What is it? Molly Chase doing the times today? Come on.
Nice. I was also taking notes, which I also did poorly.
Cell phone.
Amazing. There's no way this movie is not like bonk nanas, right?
But it is a rom-com, right?
I think so.
I believe it's a rom-com.
Not, it's not scary.
It's not
I mean, it could
scary.
Still be scary.
Okay, I'll find it scary, but no one else
I
will.
Feel like there are still elements that could be very disturbing.
Here's my, as the expert of the table.
Your fainting couch review.
Yeah. There is a man who works in the department store. He is horned up.
Yeah.
He's maybe like the night watchman.
For the mannequin? Or just
for
in
the
general.
Store.
I think
he's horned up for the store.
Oh, no, sorry,
he loves the brand.
He's horny for Converse.
It's the 80s. Yeah. He is, of course, he's horny for Converse. Everybody was. Am I right?
You're right.
Greed is good.
The mannequin comes to life, and then he falls in love. They fall in love, but the mannequin's only a human lady at night.
Like a werewolf?
Yeah.
Isn't this like a Twilight Zone episode?
Whoa.
And
I feel like there's a Twilight Zone episode like this.
And then during the day, back to mannequin. And so he's got to navigate, like, I'm falling in love with this woman, but she's only available in the night.
Uh-huh.
And a mannequin during the day.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
Wow.
I have questions, though.
Yeah.
So you mentioned an Egyptian curse. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that Night at the Museum also?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that is Night at the Museum.
This is why I'm not sure if I've seen this movie, because that detail is like in my head. And I feel like that is a detail I would only know if I had actually watched this movie.
Yeah. Like, does she wish, or does he wish so hard that she's alive that she becomes alive?
That
or
seems
is there
correct.
Or like maybe an ancient Egyptian jewelry is placed upon the mannequin or something, like a Frosty the Snowman situation.
Yeah.
I think he
wills it.
I think he wills it. I think he horns her into
existence. Yes.
And that is like her birth. She's not like a woman trapped in a curse.
I see.
I think she comes into existence the first night she turns into a woman.
Is she like mutual? Is she into him or?
I think not at first.
She's I think she's into freedom.
Yeah. She's figuring out what it means to be human.
Yes.
And then in the end, they bang.
What? That's
I'm just
the
throwing
whole
out
thing?
There. I bet they bang.
Great.
That's the conclusion of the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
I feel like he's got to find make her a real girl.
Yeah.
But a woman.
Woman.
Yeah.
And that's like how they do it?
Pinocchio stuff.
Ooh, maybe, yeah.
Kind of, right?
Feeling
maybe
like
they bang
fairy
their way to reality.
Is she, okay, is she, when she's born, like, is she being born into existence at that moment in time and all of a sudden, like, she's sentient and self-aware and there's, like, a whole, like, I got to learn how to walk kind of thing?
I thought there's going to be some comedy of like, it's night, something crashed upstairs. Oh. He's got to go check it out. And there's a lady now, and she like goes, how do I walk?
Okay. Has she been like trapped inside of this, like, did she like observe everything?
Yeah,
and
is she
all
aware
of
her
she's
world?
Like, I'm alive.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think she's only aware when she's a human woman.
Dan's bet, there is an evil commerce man who
owns
the store
yeah.
who somehow gets in the way of their romance.
And he's either going to maybe fire the Night Watchman or
like shred the mannequins.
Yeah, we need all new mannequins.
Friends think he's nuts. We're going to have, we're going to have some.
Best friends. Nice.
And then is it Andrew Shue who is the, no, that's the wrong name.
The gentleman?
The gentleman was from Pretty in Pink.
Mm.
He's the heartthrob from.
I don't know. He seems like a Matthew Broderick type, but it's not.
He's
him.
Not. No, he was from the teen movies, and this was supposed to be his big breakout as the lead, and it did not go well.
Oh.
From that's what I remember. I was alive when this movie came out. I guess I should start with that.
Oh wow!
Wait, weren't we all maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Some of us are 80s. Older than others, even though we're all 35.
Oh, this is in the 80s. Oh, I guess you said King Petrel. That makes sense.
Yeah, 87. I'm saying 87.
I'm going to say 86.
Oh, I was going to say 86. So I'll say 85.
You're allowed to double
up. For me to be alive in the 80s, it would have to be 89.
Mm. Is that what you're going to say?
Sure. I have no idea.
If it's 89, does that mean you were a mannequin when you were born?
I don't know.
I think so.
I mean, that
I think
seems
that's what
right.
It means.
Like, just like a doll.
At
that's
a baby
how
gap.
That's how babies
dolls
come
are baby
to be.
Mannequins.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Are dolls the babies of mannequins?
No, don't they make child mannequins? Though?
But they don't make
they do.
They
baby,
don't make baby mannequins.
Ooh. Oh, they do actually.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Don't they have the little ones that are like crawling?
Yep. Yeah. Those
yeah.
Are
they put little onesies on them.
Those ones are scary. I'm not scared by adult mannequins, but baby mannequins.
I'm less afraid about that.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we got to team up.
Yeah, I guess you needed to watch Trainspotting 1,000 times as a teenager to be terrified of.
Is there a scary baby mannequin?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. Holy shit.
In Trainspotting?
There's a baby crawling across the ceiling.
Oh.
People are tripping.
It's fucked.
And that's what they see.
Okay.
And then it's awful what happens to that baby.
Yeah.
It's a real baby?
Well, it's a hallucination of a babe, a real baby.
Oh, that is not cared for because of heroin.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spoiler for the movie Trainspotting. The moral of the story is heroin is bad.
Yeah. Teens, hey, cool it. Don't do heroin.
Ewan McGregor still looks good.
Oh, he looks so good. I had the biggest crush on Ewan McGregor.
That movie.
And I was like, is it okay that I have a crush on a guy who just looks like he's strung out on heroin?
I mean, I feel like that movie was like this episode is about the movie Mannequin.
Yeah.
That movie, like, I feel like brought in sort of like the most modern era of like heroin chic.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's just like, people were just like into dudes who looked like they were not taking care of themselves.
That's fair. Yeah. Oh man, I still have a huge crush on Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I haven't met a single person yet that I've remembered to ask about it.
Yeah. You're not just running down the street like, how do you feel about Ewan McGregor?
Yeah. Well, mannequin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the curse, I don't want to go as far as curse.
Bless.
I think the end of the movie, the blessing.
Hashtag bless.
He's got to break it, right? That's the way this, I mean, there are sequels to this movie.
Okay.
What? There's definitely a mannequin too. There Ooh, might becomes, be a mannequin
What if
three.
He becomes a mannequin so he can be with her?
Man,
wow. Man.
Because it's got to be that his obstacle is getting to her, right? He's got, people have to think he's nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like losing touch with the reality. I think he starts to lose parts of his life. Ooh. Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
Dan's bet. The part of the blessing is that other people cannot see her, even at nighttime. Like, she just, if they walk by, it just looks like he's having a fun conversation with a mannequin.
Oh, yeah, because there's a mannequin looking, yes.
Oh, no.
So that's why they think he's so nutty.
See, this is a scary movie.
I think he's going to have an overbearing mother who is trying to set him up with real women.
Yeah.
And he, like, goes on a date, but no one is as good as mannequin.
Well, and there's that movie that came out more recently.
Yep, there's some of those.
Well, no, where one of the characters' girlfriend is a blow-up doll.
Oh, Lars and the Real Girl?
Yeah, Lars and the Real Girl.
Maybe 10 years old.
Well, it's newer than 1980
something. Yeah, Dan, fair. Get off your high horse.
Wow.
It reminds me a bit. I just saw Her recently, that's similar, except for in Her, everyone just like accepts the relationship like immediately.
And there's like a bunch of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Which I liked about that movie. I was like, oh, it's not about him being crazy. It's about
society or something.
It's a love story in a way.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mannequin. I'm pretty concerned. Oh, I don't know. You know what? I don't think that Josh Young would steer us wrong.
No.
And I'm sure in the second half we get to find out why Josh picked this movie.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that. Josh Young, executive producer of this podcast. We are grateful, and I'm sure you have incredible taste in movies.
I mean, I was excited.
And so this one is not going to be awful.
I was excited because, like I said, like there's no way this movie isn't just like bonkers.
I think it's bonkers.
Right? Like that has to be at least part of the motivation for Josh's pick.
Yeah, it's I think it's got intense late 80s magic energy.
I mean, just the premise alone on paper, you're already like, someone made this movie, right?
Yeah.
Like,
what types of things do they do when she's around? Like when
Are they in a Target?
She has to learn.
No, no way.
There's Target specifically Target.
Was there not cool in 85.
Okay, there is a movie about a night guy at Target. He gets up to shenanigans
with mannequins.
Wow,
mannequin shenanigans.
That's trademark. That's ours.
Yeah,
that's the reboot. Mannequin shenanigans.
Mannequin shenanigans.
I remember that movie. There's because that.
No, you don't. What's the movie called?
I don't know. It's a Target. But he like gets all the stuff because it was like a cool, it was a cool, I've had that desire to be like, what if no one was around and you could just use all the stuff in a big store and it was like cool and fine, no consequences. Either it's the apocalypse or you're the night watchman. Pick one.
Okay.
And you can like just, you can like sit in a lawn chair.
Sure.
This movie. You can like sit in a lawn chair and like drink a soda pop and like play music as loud as you want. And then,
This happens in a Target in a movie you're sure exists.
Yes.
Okay.
Get at us wherever we exist to tell me what movie I'm thinking of. Discord, Facebook.
We're on Instagram.
Instagram.
Threads.
Threads.
Are we?
You What's know what we're threads? Not on.
Yeah.
Whatever X is.
We're X not. A, yeah. X is our X.
Send us an email. Call us.
Yeah. Call us. 612-A089-PUT-A-DO.
Last two T's don't matter.
No, the last four letters don't matter, but you shit. Do.
Two T's a pod, 612-208-9788.
It's been a while.
What?
It's been a while since we sung that song.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
You know, it's also been a while since we talked about the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Okay. Hmm. We got Mannequin Lady, who has a name?
She has to have a name.
By the end?
I hope she has a name.
Does she name herself or does he name her?
Oh, I bet Molly's bet he names her.
Yeah, fair. But then it's her name.
I bet it's something does like Chandra or something that seemed exotic and fun in the 80s. Write that down. I'm making such good bets.
Yeah, Dan.
Sorry.
Get off your high horse.
Hard to. I might fall. okay, she's got a name. She's not going to talk to anybody?
A woman, certainly.
Apparently
not.
She can't.
like during the day, who else is going to show up? Mm-mm. Maybe mom comes at night. Night mom. That's night a movie. Mom. That's our movie too.
Yeah. There's, trademark.
There's probably like a rich lady that comes in and comments on the outfit she's wearing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, or there's like a cashier lady, cashier rich lady interaction. I'm going to give a hopeful yes.
Nice.
I bet that there are at least two named women in the movie, but I don't think they're going to talk to each other.
I agree with that.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I want to know what they do on their dates.
Yeah. Let's
get on a motorcycle.
Let's take some bets.
Yeah.
So, okay. So she can be like alive outside of the store.
Yes.
I think so. I think.
Why doesn't he just take her? Why doesn't he just take her?
Oh,
maybe he does. Maybe he takes her back to his apartment and then he's sunrise.
Like, and he's like, uh-oh. Oh no, she's a mannequin.
She needs like department store magic.
Maybe.
I feel like it's related to the sun.
I feel like all of these questions were asked during the pitch meeting.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Give me the mannequin rules.
Yeah. Let's take some bets on what they do on their dates. Okay. I'm going to say hot dog cart because I desperately want it to happen.
Yeah.
Well, now this is, okay, that is, it broadens our horizons.
I think they can at least
that they
leave
can go
the
outside. Because I was thinking they all had to be like department store themed. I like the idea of the lawn chair date. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there will be like some bench sitting next to a river at a park or something.
Okay. There's going to be like a costume. The fashion montage. Totally. Try it on outfit.
For sure.
Outfit montage.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Let's say tandem bicycle, just for fun.
Wow.
Can she eat when she's alive?
Great question.
I think so. I think she's sure. I think she's fully a woman.
And then the next day, someone's like, what is going on? What is that smell? And they open up one of the mannequins.
Like old hot dogs.
Old masticated hot dog.
Yeah.
So gross.
It's like raccoons trying to chew into the mannequin.
Yeah, like if something happens to her as a mannequin, does something happen to her?
Oh, like if her arm falls off?
Yeah, like if she, like, whoa, they forgot to put her arm on the next day, is she not have an arm?
That's got
to
be a moment where someone's like, I'm just going to move this mannequin.
And he's like, no!
Although, is he working during the day, too?
I don't know.
I just don't think he works there.
Wow!
Oh, big I love swing. That. Spicy
how,
bet.
How does he get
is
there
he breaking
night?
In?
Yeah, because he's so horny. Yeah.
So no. He's outside like...
He horns his way into the department store.
Listen.
Caesar Widow is like, I got
the memory, the two memories I have are backed up by gifts that I look through squinted eyes. Uh-huh. One, he stands looking outside the window with his hands on the window, longing for the mannequin inside. And two, they're on a motorcycle.
Wow. Yes. Motorcycle's big. I feel like...
Is she human or mannequin at that point?
Both.
Yes.
So that's what I think gives credence to what Beth was saying.
She's both a human and a mannequin on the motorcycle?
That when other people see them together...
Okay, for the record, I said that, but that's fine. You can give Beth credit.
Well, I said it a second time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I maybe wrote it down.
What is it about her mannequin form that makes him so horned up?
For, like for that mannequin.
Like, I'm just trying to think of like...
Yeah, they're all the same.
Like, yeah, I've not seen a mannequin before where I'm like, ooh.
Okay. Oh,
Molly's bet, and I'm making this up completely.
Okay.
He sees a beautiful woman out on the street. They have a wonderful night together. He's like, can I call you? And she says, no. Uh-huh. And he's like, but I have to know more about you. And she says, see you later. And she goes away and he chases after her.
Wow.
And then doesn't get to see her again. And then he sees a mannequin that looks just like her. He becomes obsessed with a mannequin. And it turns out that she is that mannequin.
Oh, okay. Wow.
All right. So
that is Molly's bet.
Different than my conception, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that makes sense.
Sure.
That he would be like, oh, it reminds me of this woman.
So she's
but it turns out it was that woman.
But she's living a full life and then
she
goes and
has autonomy over whether she looks like a woman or a mannequin.
Whoa.
That is my thought.
Like a tanuki suit. In Mario.
Sure, yeah.
So she can make him look foolish if she wants to.
Nice. LOL. Yeah.
Wow. She's just playing games with him.
Yeah. Playing games with his heart. And in the end,
and
he ends up destitute and alone.
Damn, Molly.
Yeah.
Wow. I love this.
Okay. I didn't write any of that down, but I'm excited for it.
Me too. I hope it's that dark.
I ran out of room and I decided my handwriting is atrocious tonight and it's going to be of no help to any of us.
Wow. Come on, buddy. It's okay.
We believe in you. Wow.
You can take notes if you want to. You can turn that page aside.
You know, have you ever re-listened to that song,
no,
Safety Dance?
Never.
I was just driving the other day and I heard it come on and I listened to the lyrics and thought about when it came out. And was just so overwhelmed. Like I almost cried because it is such a beautiful song about acceptance and venturing outside of your regular group of people. And I was thinking about how in the 80s, when it was just starting to be where people could be queer or at all different than anyone else, and like what safety dance means. And sure, like everybody loved Safety Dance. I think I was probably in fourth grade when it came out. That was great. But it has so much meaning. It is such a good song. I encourage Totes Challenge.
Yes.
Listen to the song and pay attention to the lyrics and imagine yourself as a 1985 teen and tell me you don't want to cry just a little bit.
Could be in this movie. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
That would.
Oh, man.
Department Store Magic.
Department Store Magic. Okay, let's go.
Oh,
how are we going to rate this movie, Molly?
We're going to rate this movie on mannequin shenanigans. Okay. How many?
Is this like a prank show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, were they?
It's like how many episodes of mannequin shenanigans? And it's executive produced by mannequins.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow, that added so much to that.
Are they like, involved? Are they on camera at all, though, the mannequins?
Yeah.
So they're like the commentators when you get like B-list celebrities commenting on the pranks, but they just cut to a room full of mannequins being still.
Yeah, but that's terrifying. Whole thing is like these mannequins set up scenarios where people are engaging with them as humans, sure, and then they turn into a mannequin.
Oh, these are magic mannequins.
I mean, listen, as far as we know,
all mannequins
do this.
Yeah. See, it's like we have
no way to prove otherwise.
It's true.
They're like trolls, like classic Norwegian trolls that turn into stone.
Like a tanuki suit.
Yeah.
When they want to, or when people
I think it's
see
in the sun.
Them.
Right?
In the sun, yeah.
Well, I'm saying they have full autonomy, and they are punking us all the time.
Oh, wow.
So
and they pretend
my fear.
To be extra stiff to make it really hard for clerks to put on the clothes, but they could bend their arms if they wanted to.
Wow. Yeah. You can bend your arms if you want to.
I think there's a Doctor Who reboot, Doctor Who episode.
Oh, yeah. Aren't there like creepy statues that like are crying all the time? And if you look at them,
that one's really good.
That's with the angels.
I think there's also a mannequin one.
Oh, no.
I'll chase it. It might be like. Maybe the first Christopher Eccleston one?
Yeah, but they're actually, spoiler alert, they're actually Cybermen.
Whoa.
Cybermen.
I think that's what it was. They're like shadows and people. Okay, never mind. Maybe that's a different one.
Check
I
out wonder,
it's a mannequin
all
one.
Of Doctor
right.
Who.
Shut up, nerds.
Shut up, nerds. There is a mannequin one for sure.
Yep.
Great.
I'm thinking of a different one.
I wonder how many episodes of Mannequin Shenanigans we will rate this movie.
Yeah, and you go first,
really
as we all know.
Wants to watch this movie.
I do. I'm ready. Let's go.
I go first, even when I'm pressured into doing it, even though I wanted to keep talking about mannequin shenanigans. No, it's fine. We get it. Mannequin pranks. This movie sounds so wild, and there's no way I won't... What am I trying to say? I will definitely enjoy watching this, but I have no idea if I'll enjoy it because it's so bad, but wild, or if it's like... actually kind of a well-made, ridiculous 80s movie. So I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to say I'm going to order 4 episodes of Mannequin Shenanigans. Excellent. All in a block, though, because the network isn't super sure about it. So they're just, like, burning the episodes, you know, at, like, 8 p.m. on a Monday. There's, like, a football game happening on the other networks.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got it.
The Arrested Development treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Beth, you are second.
Yeah, I think that... based on what we think the movie is about, it sounds fun. So I'm going to say 4.
Nice.
My name is Dan. I'm third. I'm also going to say 4 for basically the same reasons. It sounds wild. I don't want to go all the way to 5 because there's a lot of holes to fill.
There's no mannequin rules that we know yet.
Yeah, of how this is going to go. But I think it's got a lot of potential. So I'm going to leave it potential within my rating. Did I do something there? Who knows? 4. Molly Chase.
One last Molly's bet. There is 100% chance I will wedge in a reference to mannequin-splaining.
Nice.
Between now and the end of the episode. Josh Young has chosen this movie for us, and I trust Josh Young, our executive producer of this extra special extrasode.
Okay.
And for those reasons, I'm going to give it 4.5 with full expectation that I will be at a 5 or a 0 by the time it's done.
So is the half like, it's like Toy Story 2 where like they lost They lost most of the episode, but they had a little bit of a backup, but not the whole episode.
Yes, cool. Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch Mannequin, and we'll be right back.
It's me, Beth Gibbs, the host of this mid-roll that you're hearing right now.
Nice.
Is mid-roll like a term that people understand?
I think at this point.
Yeah, right? They get it. It's like...
Well, also, we've said it like 1,000 times. Yeah.
And so our listeners are in the know.
They're savvy.
Yeah. Podcast terms.
If you don't know, like in the podcast world, it's like... Like an advertisement that happens in the middle like of the podcast.
Yeah, what's the
and
part?
We have turned away
in.
Every advertiser who has come to us for our mid-roll so that we could bring you this message.
This extrasode is brought to you by Josh Young. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
I don't know.
You might ask.
What a hero. Is he a superhero?
He might be.
Okay.
Josh went onto the internet.
Okay. For the listener, Beth just pretended to type on a keyboard to tell you how to get on the internet.
Went to patreon.com/totesrecall.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's
URL.
The whole URL.
Are you sure?
I'm quite positive. Then
feels
Josh.
Like about a .com.
Jesus.
Then Josh signed up for the executive producer level, which gave Josh the ability to pick the movie that we are watching and make a whole new episode that would not have existed without Josh.
Wow. True.
Superhero.
So if you'd like to do that, head on over to patreon.com/totesrecall.
.com, for sure.
And you got it. We believe in you.
Click on that tier, baby.
Click on that
smash
tier.
Smash that button.
Force us to watch a film of your choosing.
Yeah.
Unless we veto it and Dan sends you a polite but firm email. Has that ever actually happened?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
But it could, so it watch could. Yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It could.
Anyway, we love you. Now back to the show.
Yay. And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 29 minutes of the most 1980s of all 80s movies I have ever seen. Why is 129 nice?
Is it because it's 60 and 69?
Oh,
sure. Nice.
No, it'd be 60 and 30.
It just,
it'd be 60 and 29, you guys.
Yeah, 60 and 29.
Nice.
Nice.
Wait,
what?
Why is that nice? Why? Because it's 1 hour, then 2 hours.
Sure.
That's what was happening in my head, but that's not correct. Thank you. Bag it up.
And we're back. Oh, okay. We just watched 1 hour and 29 minutes of Mannequin, the most 1980s of all 1980s movies. I will say right now, costumes were incredible. I believe they could have spent one more minute to bring it to a complete 90 just to tell us what happens to the dog.
Yes.
Oh, complete 90 minutes. Spoilers. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were bringing us into 1990 or something.
Oh, no, because this movie was made in
1987.
Boom, I think.
Dan Linden.
Yes, yep, that's right. Bow down to my ability to arbitrarily guess a year.
I almost guessed 86 or 87.
Doesn't
you almost
matter.
Guessed 86, which would also have been wrong.
Well, less wrong than where
sure,
I landed.
Sure.
In
sure.
My head, you said 129 minutes, which would have been 60 nice. Plus 69.
Nice.
That's where that came from.
Okay.
But you said 1 hour and 29 minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Back to it. My brain really needed to solve back that problem.
That's a backup noise.
No, I got it.
It was good. Okay. We all got it.
That was really good.
Okay, good.
Our listeners will be like, wow.
They were nodding
did somebody,
along.
Did Beth rewind the podcast?
Is that where they spent all of their budget?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
But that's okay because... We keep getting cash infusions from patrons, thank you. But more also, importantly, from award purses.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what
like
they call it?
The MacArthur Genius Podcast Grant.
Yes, for segments.
It's a
for
different segments. MacArthur, just to be clear.
Yeah, it's a MacArthur.
I thought that was the
okay,
right
it's
one.
A MacArthur.
Like McDonald's?
Yes.
It's like Mick Jagger, but his name is MacArthur.
That's right.
That's right.
And the award is slightly smaller.
He invented podcasting.
Wow. Right? Yeah. Fun fact.
And by invented podcasting, I mean he.
Him and Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
You get a free subscription to stamps.com.
Yep. Uh-huh. Is that still around?
I think so. Isn't that a thing?
It was.
Okay. Well, maybe
they're
get
not
a
sponsoring
nice
us.
No.
Mattress.
You know who is? 60-second summary awards.
Oh, yeah.
And by sponsoring it, they're giving them to us.
They're giving them to us. And then we do them, which is kind of like a sponsorship.
I guess.
Anyway, we're rich because of this good segment.
But mostly because of you, the patrons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In which we summarize.
Patreon.com/recall.
That we summarize the movie we just
Molly,
watched.
Molly, put the timer down.
I'm so good at timing.
60 seconds, you're not. Exactly. The traditional manner is for me to volunteer. Yeah. I believe I just did it.
Yep.
Beth's never done it.
That
I guess I've
true.
Never done it before.
So yeah!
Yes!
And I believe also tradition, Dan Times.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
I could help.
Molly.
What was this movie even about? My brain 10 is
seconds.
Already freaking
Molly.
Out.
50 seconds.
Oh my God.
28 seconds.
Beth, to help you out, it was about a mannequin.
Okay, thank you. That does actually help. Wait,
what do we even open on?
Are you
on?
Ready?
Oh!
Yeah.
Yep.
Go!
We open on ancient Egypt.
Boom. Yes.
There is a woman who is talking to her mom, and she's getting set up with all these losers, and she's like, I want somebody else. And so the gods vanish her into the future or something. Yeah. Cut to an animated opening.
Yes. Amazing.
Then we find out that our dude Switcher, he can't keep a job. Finally, he ends up at a department store as he's in the mail room, and then the mannequin turns real. Hold on, he makes the mannequin in the first place. That's important. The mannequin turns real. They do a series of window dressings together, and he gets really, he's super famous because he's not super famous, but he's very popular. And then they fall in love, and they get married in the window.
Time.
Wow.
Wow, very good.
The landing.
Yes, incredible. Yes. 100%.
You had just made it to the core premise at like 40 seconds, and I was very worried for you, yeah. But...
You really nailed it by walking back to remind us that he was the creator of the mannequin.
Yeah, I feel like you nailed the literal pace of the movie.
Mm.
Like there was a fair amount of setup, and then the ending was pretty much like, and she's real, like she's really real.
Yeah,
right. There are two phases of realness.
In all the yeah. Right yeah. Places.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I will add that there is a sort of corporate competition, not competition. Sort of
hostile takeover
happening
attempts.
Between competing department stores.
Yes,
and they're trying to corporate espionage.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Steal the goods, yep. And the goods are Jonathan Switcher's window dressing.
Apparently.
Well, yeah. At first, they're just trying to shut. Okay, I think we can back up and give a couple of other.
Thank you.
Corporate examples, because you know that movies are brought to life with. Corporate antics.
Okay.
And then especially in the 80s. But in this one, there are two competing department stores. One is trying to get the other to fail.
Yes.
And they're about to succeed. Oh, and they also have a mole on the inside played by James Spader, who is brilliant in this movie. We'll get to it.
He's going for it.
Yeah, really does. And they have like a inside person undermining the store.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to be able to get the store for a tenth of the price until Jonathan Swifter is Switcher is out on the street and he, Estelle, the lady
shoves her out of the way of a giant
saves
sign.
Saves her life.
Yeah.
And then rides a giant sign back and forth and gets his butt burned
multiple
by some electricity.
Times. Yeah. He gets his ass sporked.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
He would be dead.
Well, he'd be dead.
That's a big
And
cable.
Also, like, it swings back and forth. It would lose momentum. And so it would never get up as high as
no,
it does
Beth,
the first time.
The electricity
time.
Adds energy.
Also, why did he climb on in the first place?
I don't know.
So he was trying to stop it.
He pushed Estelle Getty out of the way.
Uh-huh.
And then the sign swung back. And the only way that he couldn't jump out of the way in time. So he grabbed onto the side of it.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't
because
going that fast.
Of comedy.
Oh, okay. He got his ass sporked.
Three times?
At least twice. Yeah. Three times. Yeah. A lady.
But anyway, because of that act of heroism, he gets hired on at first as a stock boy. And then that's when he meets
Hollywood Montrose.
Because one of his failed jobs was as a mannequin builder.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What job was that?
Okay. Here's my first question about this whole scenario.
Okay. Yeah.
He claims to have built this mannequin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I designed... Oh, he wants to be a sculptor. That's important.
It is important. Yeah.
And so in each of his jobs, he's like adding a little bit too much art and it slows him down in some way. And so that's why he gets fired.
Right.
But in the mannequin job, he's like, you know, I designed her over a month or something like that. And is it... Like, did it take him that long to select the right arms and legs?
That's what was confusing. Because if you had just opened on him having just completed it, you would have thought, oh, he sculpted this or did something.
Right, like the whole thing. You
but they show you him picking out arms and legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which does not take a long time.
And he does the whole thing. We watch him do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got a torso and a head. I guess we don't see him put the head on the torso.
Yeah.
But we see him... put the torso on the legs and take two arms and put the arms on there.
Yeah.
And that happens in 1 minute.
Oh, and he has time for comedy.
Yeah.
He gets the wrong thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess he was maybe, you know, thinking for a whole week and then it occurred to him and then he was able to assemble quickly.
The perfect mannequin.
And I guess the mannequin head probably didn't have paint on it, like the makeup on it and a wig.
He might have done makeup and a wig. Okay. Yeah, which is important.
Yeah. But
don't you like switch those out usually?
What's that?
Don't you usually switch those out?
Oh, certainly the wig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think the makeup too. Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. He's bad at all of his jobs because he's too artistic.
Yeah.
Until he finally lands this sweet job at Prince & Company, which is a department store that was in the building that would later become a Macy's.
Yes! I nailed it.
Philadelphia.
I lived in Philly for a couple of years.
Wow.
And
no
I
big deal.
At Macy's.
Attaboy.
I've been in there. I bought a suit.
Ooh, for what?
A wedding.
Your wedding?
No, but I did buy some stuff for my wedding there. I think I bought my bow tie.
Wow.
Was it on a mannequin?
No.
No.
Was it near a mannequin?
Probably. There were mannequins there. I might have bought a pair of jeans there, too.
Ew.
You know, that's where I went to buy clothes. It was at Macy's.
Check out
Philadelphia Macy's.
Macy's in the 2000s?
Yeah, 2000s.
When were you in Philly?
2000s. To late 2000s.
Don't
early
dox him.
2010s.
Got it.
Well, it makes it all the more surprising.
No, early
2010s.
Okay.
Sorry.
See this film.
Yeah.
Which is a tribute to the city that you lived in.
Sure. And filmed there.
Mm-hmm.
In 1987.
Yeah.
Did we say that already?
We did. Dan won.
Booyah.
Oh.
I feel like I took all the air out of this by delving too deeply into the corporate details, and I want to apologize for that because
you
wanna
bring
this
us
movie
out with some Turner facts.
Pull the escape chute of Turner facts.
How about we this a very special extra-sode episode
that
was brought to us by Josh Young, and he told us why he picked this movie.
I'd like to know.
I would also like to know.
It's got to be the costumes. Comedy.
Yeah, mostly the corporate. The corporate.
The corporate stuff, really?
And the Philadelphia Macy's. No. Whoa. Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
This is him. This is Josh talking.
Okay.
Hello. I'm a big fan of camp and the genre of So Bad It's Good. So I'm excited for y'all to watch Mannequin, starring Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall. Though not explicitly a gay film, its utter queerness is a delight. It pulls together so many actors from beloved queer-friendly TV shows like Golden Girls, Designing Women, and Sex and the City, alongside actors from the Brat Pack and Police Academy,
mm-hmm.
with iconic flair like musical montages and, yes, even an animated intro.
So good.
The gay character exhibits some stereotypical traits, but sidesteps old-school gay tropes of being a sexless, meek, best friend character. He is out and proud and has a heroic moment to shine, which is uncommon in cinema of the era. All this plus a bopping soundtrack that will have your salad hold screaming cake yum yum. Thank you, Josh.
Oh, when you add them all together like that.
He's not wrong.
Cake hole feels uncomfortable.
No, salad hole.
Salad hole is screaming
Molly,
cake yum
inappropriate.
Yum.
Wow.
Okay.
Rated R.
Yes. All of those things were true. The soundtrack was bopping.
Yes.
The score was incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I was like practically moving in my seat the whole time.
Yeah. Hollywood, our Gary, our gay character.
Hollywood Montrose, is played by Designing Women's
Misak Taylor.
Taylor.
Is mm-hmm. wonderful.
Oh, my God.
The best.
The best.
And yeah, I had a moment of concern watching this movie. Like, he is a stereotype.
Oh, for sure. When he first showed up, I'm just like, uh-oh.
And the way they other characters talk about him is shitty. But we kind of see that with the security guard played by, I think, the sergeant from Police Academy,
yep.
who's almost the same character. And he does for great. Sure. But, like, you know, he says something shitty about Hollywood. And our lead, Swifter.
Swiffer.
Switcher.
Switcher.
Sloper.
Sloper. Scrapper the window dresser. Uh-huh. Gets right back at him. It's like, oh, at least I'm not working with a bigoted jerk.
Yeah.
And LOL, nice. We got him. So it's like, good job, mannequin. It's mm-hmm. telling yeah. us, like, hey, check yourself, bigots.
Yeah. And it was nice that they had him. Because, like, you know, he was very accepting of Hollywood just, like, as a person. But it was nice that they actually, like, took the time to actually have him, like, stand up for him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that happens a lot in movies, too, where it's just like, oh, the protagonist is a good person and have no problem with these, you know, quote unquote outsiders. But, like, they don't necessarily do anything to, like, defend them in society or anything.
And then this just invites, we've got to talk about the metaphor of someone who falls in love. Well, they're. I think this movie works on actually a lot of levels, and it was kind of freaking me out when we were watching it.
Let's unpeel the onion.
Yep.
Okay. On the most basic level, everyone in the department store accepts that this guy is horny for this particular mannequin without question, right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not even that subtle about it.
No.
No.
And it is a known fact that people understand and are maybe a little giddy about. And curious about, but they don't, like, call the police or anything.
Yeah, they treat it like he's just an eccentric artist or something.
Yeah, because he's bringing in money.
That's fair.
Saving the store and their jobs. Yeah. But yeah, well, I agree. They are.
In America, you can fuck whoever you want as long as you bring in money.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the subtexts. I mean, that is pretty true. Yeah. But yeah, this whole, like, what under the banner of art are mm-hmm. willing to, are people willing to accept and embrace they wouldn't normally?
Sure.
And so what really bent my brain is there is a scene, we don't even have to play Did They Bang because they explicitly banged, and on some furs, which actually super creeps me out because you can't really wash those. So, like,
sure,
there were no sheets or anything. I'm just saying, anyway.
Oh, you mean if anyone wanted to, like, purchase those furs later?
Or just wear them.
Did
that was okay. Thousands of dollars of merchandise that was soiled with...
Did
seed.
They bang? Yeah.
Molly.
Molly.
Did they bang well in the furs, or was that like
I think they banged in all those places.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They banged in the tent. They probably banged in the teddies.
Hammock.
Definitely in the hammock.
Yeah. They banged in the furs.
Teddy bears, to be clear.
Molly. Yeah. It's fine. All the seed stays inside the mannequin.
Okay.
Oh, no. My gosh. Oh,
that's how you make a baby mannequin.
I cannot so even. Okay. We have so much left to discover, but I just want to stay focused for a second.
There's you chose to say the word seed aloud at a table with Dan and I.
That is legitimate. I did swing that door wide open, but we will not make any jokes about that either. Okay. So what we're going to focus on is that Andrew McCarthy / Swifter / scaffolding or whatever wakes up in the furs by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a crowd of people around.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, art.
It was bananas.
Theater.
Yeah.
And, like, it's performance art.
And they're into it.
And they are into it. There's clapping. Well, because he has transformed what is pure commerce and boring into art, where people are expecting unexpected things to happen.
Sure.
And they're so accepting within this realm of thinking of things as art or him as an artist that they're willing to accept that he's naked and lying in furs as a performance rather than as having just had sex with a mannequin that ran away in the morning to be in the window.
It's just weird because there was, like, those were just employees. You know what I mean?
I thought it was customers. Those were customers.
What gave you the idea they were customers?
They were carrying purses.
They just came into work in the morning.
Nope. I mean, maybe, but I think it was.
Wow.
I don't know.
I thought they were customers.
I thought they were just the employees.
It doesn't matter. Well, I think.
They weren't wearing uniforms. They were in their dress clothes.
They had just gotten there because it was the morning.
Yeah, but you don't. I don't know. In places where I had to wear a uniform, I wear my uniform to work. Okay.
They have a changing room in the basement.
Listen, if you worked there and you saw this guy's annex everywhere, you would see him and be like, oh, he was probably with the mannequin, right?
Sure.
But these people were fascinated and excited and considered it art because the power of the artist had transformed a purely commercial space into a place where people were open and accepting of things, which is in fact a metaphor for this movie.
Whoa.
By watching this movie, we just accepted for a while that Kim Cattrall was a mannequin
and
could only be seen and an Egyptian that could only be seen by Andrew McCarthy's character. Right?
Sure.
And that he saves her life from a shredder and that's how she becomes real. Because the gods. There's sort of an allusion to the Egyptian
gods. I am unclear on how she becomes
I think it's like true love.
Or something.
You don't think they were true loving before?
No, he had to save her from death.
Yeah. I feel like one thing that I really enjoyed about...
You can bang
about,
all you want, but if the Egyptian gods don't see you, save a life.
All right. Yeah. That's part of it, I see.
The things that should have been so complicated and taken a long time to explain, they were just like, just didn't.
No.
She'd be like, oh, I pray to the gods I could have some freedom. And then they just sort of indicate she gets to pick and choose where she goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe the animated intro is supposed to be telling us about her time travel journey.
Which is bonkers.
Which I had a real hard time following because I was just so excited there was an animated intro. Mm-hmm. But that's what I think we're supposed to take away. I was also thinking about how much it would have added another layer if we hadn't had that pre-animated intro scene. Mm. Like if we had never known that she had been a real person cursed by the gods. There could have been a theme of like,
blessed by the gods.
Is he really crazy?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That was never a possibility that he was making it up like American Psycho or whatever.
Or Fight Club.
Yeah.
Or like he just got his ass sparked so hard that he started hallucinating.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he died with the sparking.
Whoa.
And his mind made up the whole thing.
Yeah. Wow. Which I wonder if they went back and added that first scene after viewers were like, crazy?
What?
It does make it a little easier to understand.
It also makes it a lot easier to like understand why such a ridiculous scene is the opening of this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
was she mummifying herself? Was that the gag?
That was so confusing.
I thought she was hiding.
I think she's hiding.
I did not get that.
Because she didn't want to go out on a date with that guy.
Yeah.
I see.
Dad noted this before, but it is wild that she plays an Egyptian.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah. That's
best way to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's wild that she has an entire scene. The movie starts out with dialogue only among women, and her mother is never named.
Mother. Yeah. She's named Mother.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you don't call your mother by her name unless you're being disrespectful.
But also, like...
Or she could have said, my name is not Desdemona if I didn't raise you better than this.
Yeah. Sure.
Just throw it in there.
She could have been wearing a name tag.
Did we get... You're alluding to the Bechdel-Walls test, if I know how this podcast works.
I'm not sure.
Did it pass? I sort of stopped paying attention. I was like, it's got to pass. And then I'm like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it did, though, at one point.
Like, Roxy and Emma have scenes.
Yeah.
But I feel like they don't ever talk to each other.
There's literally a point at the end where Roxy points at Emma or Emmy, whatever, and says, just where did you come from? And then Jonathan steps in. He's like, Roxy, you would never understand. So that's a bust. At one point, some of the employees are just like, hey, he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. And they say names.
Yeah, but they only talk about how he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Roxy doesn't have any lady coworkers.
No, only a European horny
man. Oh, we got to talk about the European hornball. Yeah, I think it might be a
It does not pass.
No.
Yeah. Mm. It's so close. And
so close.
Like Molly was saying, it would have been so easy. Multiple scenes, especially that first one. But hey, so it goes.
There is a scene too where like, literally two women are named back to back but they never talk to each other. It's like an unnamed woman talks to the named women.
And there was one woman who had a costume that was so outrageously 80s. It was like an enormously oversized, like David Byrne size, like denim colored, like chambray, jacket over a white shirt, and then she had a red bow tie, but it was that very specific fabric that was popular in the 80s, where it was like a chiffon.
I was gonna say chiffon.
And that is her corporate bow tie, is a red chiffon thing. It's amazing. It is like so close to clown. And yet it almost like it just seems like a stylized version of what existed. As do all the performances. Can we talk about the performances in this movie?
Yeah.
What is happening? Not with us, with the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm distracted thinking about Armand's leather drapey vest.
Yeah, which still had like, sort of a sleeve. It had like
it looks the like idea an army of a sandwich sleeve. He's wearing.
Yeah.
Like the foil or like the sandwich?
No, like the actual meat.
Is this the creep?
European horny.
Oh my gosh. Hornball. Her work environment.
So,
we haven't even explained who Roxy is. Roxy is.
I don't even understand who Roxy is.
Roxy is Swiffer's girlfriend.
Sort of?
Yeah.
I think they're dating.
Okay.
They're dating. But he's a schlub, artist schlub, and she's a super corporate, and it's never going to work.
Working her way up the ladder.
Yeah. That's who she is.
Okay.
But then she like gets denied by him. I don't know. He is a shitty boyfriend.
Yes.
Because he's always sleeping and being too arty. and not taking her to nice places or whatever. Yeah. So eventually she like completely turns on him and goes full corporate espionage.
Yes.
And tries to like steal his mannequin and get him hired and stuff. I do feel, I have some sympathy for her.
Oh, for
she's
sure.
In a very bad work environment.
Yeah.
Her like coworker Armand is European. And if that wasn't bad enough, he's just aggressively harassing her all the time. Like constantly.
And he's not being like subtle about it.
No, he's like, what if we had sex right now?
Yeah, I'm horny.
I would like to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we had sex with each other?
Yeah.
It's truly awful.
In like more ridiculous ways.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse.
Like, we are coworkers. Yeah.
And she fights him.
Yes.
Which I'm like, get it.
Yeah.
Because this guy sucks.
Yeah. At one point she punches him down an escalator, which rules.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah. And then her boss, BJ Wirt. Yeah.
Wait. Can we stay on Armand for just a second?
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah, beat him up. Get him away from you. And then he wears her down.
He does.
Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how real this is. He wears her down and she's finally like, fine, let's go before I change my mind.
Yep.
And then the joke is that he is unable to plant any
Molly.
Seeds are growing.
Wow.
And he has this like very cool tiger velvet.
Yeah.
What is your picture over his bed?
Yeah. That matches his tiger print comforter.
Which he keeps lifting to look at his
unperforming
seed spiller.
No.
No. Stop.
You did this, Molly.
I did. Okay, I did.
I like how she was worn down because, you know, I mean, this is, I think everybody can relate. Like, you've got your on again, off again boyfriend, and then all of a sudden you see him out on the town with some mannequin scratches back. And you're just like, what's the point? What's even the point?
Yeah.
I can't even compete with a fucking mannequin. I might as well bang the sexually aggressive European coworker.
Yeah. We're all familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there. And her boss sucks too.
Yeah.
He's like, talks down to her all the time and is also kind of harasses her
and manipulates her. This is how you'll get a promotion is if you trick your boyfriend into working here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like his name being BJ was like an accident.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
He was also creepy and
so. Oh, yeah. A little. Yeah. I mean, he was less creepy, but he was still very like, he'd always grab her arm every time
he talked.
He was
kind of more realistically creepy.
Like, you know, like office creepy.
Yeah.
For sure.
But watching it, I think at one point I was like, were all of the 1980s just pure toxic?
Yes.
I think probably,
Yeah. Reagan was in charge. Come on.
Ugh. Rough times.
Roxy.
Rough times, Roxy.
And then she gets at the very end. Sorry to jump all the way ahead. I guess we're at Roxy moment. We jump all the way ahead.
We're following her arc.
Yeah. Jonathan Swiftman saves Emmy from the
most violent trash compactor in the history of commerce.
And kisses her. Now she's a real girl.
Wait. Let's back it up.
We're following Roxy's arc.
I'm trying to follow Roxy's arc.
Oh,
An important fact in all of this.
Go ahead.
is corporate espionage, blah, blah, blah. They try to steal. They steal all the women mannequins except for the one they left in the window that looked despondent, but whatever. Yeah. And they take them to the other store. Illustra. Roxy has just, Illustra. Roxy has had enough.
Yes.
She's just mad.
At the world.
At the world. And so she is the one who loads up all the mannequins onto a conveyor belt and then in a rage presses all the buttons and so that they're headed. Yeah. I think that's an important piece because weirdly that is her most empowering moment.
Yes. True. Yeah. And also an important detail is when Jonathan comes into the room, there is a trash man or security guard. There's a worker at the factory who comes out
of either a bathroom
or his office, but his pants were down. Hey-o. And I thought it was his office. And maybe he's doing some planting in the garbage can or what have you.
I mean, he's doing more like he's got like, you know,
he's got a garden.
Spreader. I'm trying to get a spreader.
We don't need
it. What's it called when you, top dress? She's top dress. Is that what it is when you like level out a lawn with dirt?
We don't need this.
Beth, leave this in.
He comes out for the longest time, does not stop Emmy from being ground up, which like, that's like, okay, it's a mannequin, but. Like
it's a human man.
Jonathan is going to fall into that trash can. Yes. He finally turns it off
because Jonathan has heroically run up to the top of for some reason it's an uphill compactor. I guess that's more safe. Anyway, he's at the top and he's doing his best to grab onto Emmy. Oh, this is why that's relevant. Okay. So he's grabbing onto Emmy as she's dangling above the jaws of death.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden her hand, which if you think about it, this is probably the most elaborate special effect there is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her hand is able to form
movie magic.
Yeah, movie magic.
I mean, somebody dipped their hand in clay. And then she grabs.
Okay.
She's able to grab him and he's able to pull her up. And that's the moment she becomes real.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about
Roxy.
Which
I did not realize. Okay.
So after that.
I apologize for mannequin splaining.
There it is.
You're welcome.
Our jerk off king
thinks Trash Man, the jerk off king.
Thinks that this must be how it is. So he starts aggressively kissing mannequins.
Every mannequin he can find.
It's hilarious. I wanted a full 5-minute scene of him digging through the trash for mannequins. Yes. But eventually he finds Roxy, who's also buried under trash and assumes it has worked.
Yes.
And that's Roxy's, you know, not her final moment, but it's like her final humiliation of Trash Man.
Smooching him. Smooching her.
A bunch. And she's like, get off of me, stop. And he's like, I'll go one more time.
Yeah. Maybe the magic hasn't quite taken yet.
So that's Roxy's arc.
Yeah, poor Roxy. Rough.
Yeah. So, you know.
That's what, I don't know, working for corporate America, that's what it gets you.
I guess that's the moral of the story is women shouldn't work. Is that right, Molly?
They should just be beautiful Egyptian princesses that inspire you to do your work.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then bang in anywhere you want.
Yikes. Okay, real quick. I do have a problem with Molly. Something that Molly said earlier.
Wow.
I don't have a problem with Molly.
Thank you.
Molly's great. Just so everyone knows.
Okay.
But I do have a problem. Which is that the special effect that you had mentioned, the hand switching, was the best one. My favorite were all of the transitions between scenes.
Oh, fair.
Because they used every single swipe there is.
It was
there was a star swipe. There was like a diagonal swipe.
There was a weird like a circle lines one. Yeah.
So here's what I think is so intriguing. The editor credit is shared by two people.
Mm.
One of them won Academy Awards, including for Rocky, which came out 2 years before this film.
Wow.
Feel the editor.
And the other has no link in Wikipedia. And I'm just like, who made the choice for? I just feel like what happened is they hired the Oscar nominated editor, and then he worked for 3 days and they ran out of budget.
Right.
And then they got somebody else to finish it. And they're like, don't worry, I've got it. Have you seen these swipes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is like, or, you know, maybe it is part of the larger vision that was misunderstood.
Maybe.
There was also the shortest scene I've ever seen in a movie
okay.
where it's like, I think it starts with him figuring out that she's the mannequin or whatever.
Who?
And,
Jonathan Swifter?
Swifter.
Okay.
Yeah.
he finds out she's a mannequin. Then it cuts real quick to Roxy, like, laying on the couch for, like, I don't know, 1 second. And then it cuts back to their date.
Yeah.
And eventually it cuts back.
And by cut, Beth, of course, means an swipe. Insane swipe.
Yeah. I think that's the first star swipe, actually.
And so many of them had sound effects attached to them, too. Yes. Like, there'd be ones that were just like...
And there were long, like, the soundtrack for this movie is so long, but there were so many moments of just dead airspace where you're like, this would be a good moment for some kind of synthesizer.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The chase scene, the goofball chase scene with all the cops and security guards has the best chase music I've ever heard.
Agreed.
Just like pure driving synth.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's so good.
I have questions about that too.
The driving synth?
No, the mall cops.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they think it's okay to chase this man down and like beat him up in a mall?
Well, they have a badge.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah, that adds up. Okay, that adds up. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I just, the first time that the original mall cop,
Felix
comes in and he sees the mannequin on top of Sloper.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
He's like, I'm gonna fight you.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense to me. They're both fully clothed, the mannequin and Swifter. I can't do it. What is his actual name?
Switcher.
Switcher.
You would know that if you listen to Felix because he shouts it 1,000 times. Yeah.
Well, I started ignoring him because I was mad at him.
Yeah.
And he's got a dog.
Rambo. Oh,
we got to talk about his dog.
There's some questions there. Yeah, it is funny that he is like, James Spader told me to keep an eye on you, but I'm going to do this my own way. And then like just starts punching him.
Yeah.
Punches him like in the spine. It's brutal.
Oh, yeah. It's wild. They have like true violence against each other. And then he gets mannequined and everything's fine.
Yeah. But he has a dog. Rambo, who is a English
farting bulldog.
Yeah. Who's great. He's
terrified of mannequins.
He's terrified of mannequins. And then we get to see him in the aftermath. Giant ice pack on his head. Like rolling over, putting his pop. He's so cute. He's got a big underbite.
What's great, though, is like I'm still unclear what his injuries were. Because he goes in the elevator after Felix is like, attack, and then he runs out whining. But was there like an ADR of just like, crash,
bling, 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 bling? It's unexplained.
Is it just implied that he like ran into something?
I think he's just got a headache.
He's stressed out?
Yeah, from stress.
Sure.
But then he gets replaced by Terminator. And who also doesn't catch anybody.
Yeah.
Okay,
big old German Shepherd.
What?
Let's slow it down here because we are talking about animal danger and I'm confused. Yeah. So Rocky.
Rambo.
Rambo, the dog.
Because he always gets first blood.
Because he always gets first blood. That's right. You know, is afraid of the mannequin. I assume that she like hit him or shushed him out of there. That
she
he wasn't
definitely
just afraid.
Used mannequin magic.
Mannequin magic.
So can animals see her?
Maybe.
Okay.
She never clarified.
Right. So people can't, but the gaze of a dog wouldn't affect. We don't know. Unclear. Also unclear what the injuries are. Also, I don't understand when the dog died. When did the dog die?
That's what he was about to talk about.
Yep.
No, because you were talking about the Terminator.
Yeah, because this...
Which is a different dog.
Right, because Dan was saying, where did that other dog come from?
I'm trying to go chronologically here.
Okay, then you already skipped over the red radio flyer that he was in, which was adorable.
Just so cute.
You skipped over the fact that he was stuck in a tree for some reason inside the store.
He was stuck in a tree, but then he seemed fine. Did he die because of the tree?
Did he fall out of a tree?
They never say that he died.
Yeah, we know is he's not there anymore.
There's an adorable picture on the dash of Felix's car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Felix says, this is for you, Rufus, or whatever.
Jesus.
I feel like the implication is he's dead.
But why?
I could use even 30 seconds of the movie's time to explain to me what happened
to
the dog.
Was he just old?
No, he didn't seem old.
I don't know.
He had life ahead of him. And where are the Egyptian gods in all this?
Right.
They don't care about bulldogs.
Oh. Yeah. But a bull cat, I bet they would have cared.
What's a bull cat?
A cat.
All right.
Okay, so here's a theory where he lives.
Okay, great. Right. Let's hear it.
He is the designated mall dog for the other mall.
Oh. Right.
And so he doesn't get to take the dog with him.
Maybe he's the prince of Prince and Company.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So he's just kind of chilling at the other mall and he misses his dog friend.
Maybe there's a deleted scene where like Felix is, you know, trying to like, you know, he's dusting himself off after getting hit by a hang glider inside this department store that apparently has everything, including a full-size church organ. I have questions. And maybe there's a deleted scene where he's in the locker room, whatever, you know, ready to go home. And Rambo just comes out to him very humble and slips in his little dog badge.
Oh, yeah.
And is like, I'm out.
I'm out.
Wow. Too old for this.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So he's like, we'll always have this department store, and then he walks away.
So he just retired.
I think he retired.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I could use just a sweet image of Estelle Getty's character sitting at her desk and then just seeing
Rambo.
Rowdy.
Oh, my God.
Curled up.
No, in a matching chair.
In a matching chair, curled up next to her. Yeah. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
That is...
Okay, why didn't they call us to make this movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just wondering if Estelle Getty was working a day rate, because she was popular in Golden Girls by then. And maybe they were just like, oh, I'm sorry, we ran out of time.
She did also seem like she had, like... just walked on set from something else.
She's like, here's my line.
Like, she seemed to like always be looking around more than was necessary.
Oh, and there is definitely a scene that could have been deleted where there's a flub and she kind of glances off camera for a second and they kept it.
Yeah.
You should probably say, I'm not doing another one.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's good enough.
I got Golden Girls money.
Yeah.
I gotta go put on the makeup and wig so I'm look far older than all the other actors who are actually older than me. Golden Girls.
That's real.
Golden Girls. I want to talk about one of the core premises of this movie, which is that everybody's mind is blown by these window displays.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. There was a point where Kim Cattrall's character said something about how one of Jonathan's windows was inspiring. And out loud, I just said, was it?
Yeah. We get one of the competing Illustra people coming and saying it's the best thing he's ever seen. And they're like,
fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's some movement there. There's like a tennis ball going back and forth and a cityscape going by.
And the tennis rackets are the heads of the people watching the match.
Sure. That is more clever.
Sure.
That's cute.
It's interesting. If I walked by, I would go like, oh.
I feel like it is a $1 million idea executed for $500. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, I feel like they had great ideas and then just not a lot of money or time to make it happen.
Okay. I was not born at this point in time when the movie was made. Do we feel... Well,
we took a different angle on that.
Do we feel like at that point in time, maybe window displays... I mean, because I've seen window displays that are like that have some movement to it. Was that like a new thing? No. I know that that's stupid.
They had that
but
in
like,
the 50s.
They had like those giant, massive toy empires would do like bananas window displays.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I was like, maybe that came later than I thought it did. And that's why it was so exciting.
And conceptually, a lot of it was really exciting. But it just wasn't... That's executed to a degree that would merit, unless once again, this is a commentary about art itself.
Mm.
Oh, how most of it's
is
just
that
like,
once the decision is made that it's great, everybody's on board that it's great.
Right.
I mean, that would explain like window displays 2, 3, 4, 5, but like number one, the tennis one.
Yeah.
Why does everybody decide that's amazing?
Like,
why indeed?
Right?
Why do people decide that a can of soup by Warhol, right?
Yeah.
I feel this is where I felt my brain melting because I think about this sometimes. Like, what is the difference between, let's say, great art like this podcast?
Thank you.
Well, you know what I'm saying. But like, great art.
We all understand it.
We're doing art right now.
Yeah. You don't need to clarify.
We talked about seed a bunch. Yeah. That's art.
That's art, baby. Hell yeah, that's art.
Local reference.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Art, you know? But it did like really captivate me that this could be just a silly movie that was apparently based on the idea of wouldn't it be cool if mannequins could move?
And could be sexually
sexually
banged.
Sexually banged? Yes.
I kind of lost track of where I was going on that sentence. So
I want to tag up on that.
I thought that that was Molly's implied, but I guess not.
I mean, go ahead, Armand does many things sexually, but he did not bang.
That's true. That's true. Ugh, Armand.
Can we go back to like safety dance jokes or something?
You said C. Yeah. Check the tapes.
They
check
didn't.
The tapes.
They didn't have safety dance in the movie.
No.
But they had a song that I swear had the first cut.
Had that energy.
Yeah, it did.
For sure.
Did you want to talk more about art, Molly?
Oh, it's when you say it like that.
No, I didn't really ask it. I wanted to talk about banging, but I don't want I don't want to take you off your track.
Are we in a dorm room right now? Like, no. Like, this is totally interesting, dude, but like...
You guys ever think about time?
Then fucking Randy walks in. She's like, oh shit, man. I got to get my rocks up, brother.
Pew, pew, pew.
Oh no, it doesn't work.
Under the table, I'm dreaming.
What?
What?
Oh, I was just thinking about Dave Matthews.
I'm sorry, what did she say? Okay.
Her cup is a little more.
Ew.
Check it out.
We've had a whole episode where this came up.
Several episodes, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
One thing I appreciate about this movie is I am, you know, when we talked about it in the first half and how I imagined was Jonathan
Taylor
Shaver,
Thomas,
Andrew McCarthy,
was the hornball instigator of like, I want to bang this man again. I hope it comes to life.
Yes.
And that's not it.
No.
She comes to life after he's like fawning over her, but not, he's, I don't get the impression that he's like, I'm horny for this representation of a woman. It's more like I did a sculpture art.
I'm so inspired.
And
by
I'm a good artist.
I see.
I'm horny for my artistic talent.
Yeah. Which go for it.
Sure.
Good
I mean,
on you.
You're like probably most famous artists over the centuries.
But then she comes to life and I would say she's the more horny one.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But and she does not have to learn how to do anything. No. She already knows how to do it all.
She's been around time.
Like 5,000 years.
She taught Christopher Columbus the world was round, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By blowing his mind.
No, that's not what I thought.
That's not what I thought either. Heyo.
Heyo. And Michelangelo, she maybe begged Michelangelo.
No, no, he wasn't interested.
He was
he was
some guy named David.
Yeah, right. LOL, his favorite LOL, piece.
LOL.
Yeah. Goonies.
What?
That statue has a dong. That's the joke.
Oh. Yep. Oh, okay. Got you.
Yep. That's it.
Goonies,
I appreciate
there's
it.
There's a miniature David.
Yep.
That they break, but only the...
Go ahead.
Seed producing parts.
What? Why are you making such intense eye contact with Beth?
I don't know.
Ooh, fun fact.
So this is like the toxic work environment that Roxy's living in.
Molly, you're our mom.
Molly's your mom.
You need us to step in.
Okay, oh fun fact.
All of a sudden she's wearing roast beef vest.
I want to take a quick moment to tell you a fun fact about the Statue of David, which I just saw in Florence, Italy.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's
a big deal.
When we saw it. My wife, no big deal, had the thought, and I had the same thought, and we talked about it afterwards. Like, because when you look at it, like, you know, it's this incredible piece of sculpting. It's, you know, the level of detail, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, some of the toes on one of its feet are, like, all fucked up, and you're sort of like, oh, I guess he just, you know, didn't get the toes right, or, like, he just gave up. But then during our tour, they explained that the reason that the barrier is at the distance it is because sometime in the 90s, some dude just came in and started wailing on it with a hammer.
Oh,
that's why the toes are messed up.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That sucks.
So, sorry, Michelangelo, that we doubted your skill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We made some bets.
Hell yeah, we did.
And one of the bets was that my handwriting was so bad, I would contribute nothing with it. So, let's see how it goes up.
All right.
All right.
Oh, I remembered a staircase scene. I don't think I saw it.
No?
So
not when she, when Roxy pushes Armand down the stairs?
No, I'm thinking more like of like a dramatic, romantic coming down the staircase.
I mean, she does fly down the center of the mall with a hang glider.
And that was cool. It's not what I was thinking of.
During the montage, I feel like during the montage, there was a point where they were like dancing on a staircase.
She comes down the stairs at some point.
I'm not doubting that she came downstairs. I am telling you all.
Is this your sexy Disney horse again, where it's like you?
Oh, maybe. That sounds weird out of context.
Check out our past episodes. Check out
any Disney movie.
TotesRecall.com.
Where I'm searching for a horse. Aren't we all? Doesn't sound any better. No, but the memory that I have in my brain, the image that I have, I did not, there was no moment of like, that's it. Mm. So I wonder if I've only seen Mannequin 2.
On the move?
I don't know. I had no memory of seeing this movie. I don't know if I've seen it. Mm. It could be a big no.
Okay, so in Mannequin 2, or is it the same mannequin couple?
No, I think it's totally different actors. Yeah. Oh, okay. Except for Hollywood. Minnie Taylor? Yeah. So Hollywood stays.
Yeah. Oh, the best part. So yeah.
According to a person who happened to be in Beth's house at the time, he's only in the movie for a short while.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's different actors playing
the same characters,
Great or question. If it's just like...
Totally new Egyptian princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's really hard to say.
I guess... Someone else has got to that episode.
Listen, does he have new sunglasses? That's the important question.
Just the sunglasses alone.
His
would
costumes
be
were amazing.
An incredible art exhibit. I would go to.
There's an incredible moment where he is like wearing his crazy sunglasses in one of his like very loud outfits. And like they're having a board meeting talking about maybe having to fire Jonathan. And he's like, desperate times call for desperate measures, something like that. And he removes his incredibly loud jacket to be shown wearing a full business suit.
And then is going to throw himself out the window.
Well, at first I think he was going to go into the boardroom, but then Jonathan said something that inspired him to instead threaten to kill himself. Oh
my gosh. You know, that board operates very strangely.
It's loose.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like, the board does not decide whether or not a stock person gets hired or promoted or fired.
She made him vice president. I feel like that's a role. She had to, like, run by the board.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But they love those incredible windows.
Yeah. There are.
I don't know. Whenever movies try to do corporate, I don't know, and I know it's a send-up. But to me, it's like there was an improv group in town of just teenagers.
Yeah.
And every time they played adults at work, it was sort of like this movie. The board says you're fired.
Every single attempt at business in a movie that's not about business and is a comedy is basically the Unikitty scene in the Lego movie where she takes over the board. Mm. Business.
Yeah. Someone who's in that boardroom is James Spader. We haven't talked about him nearly enough.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
He is going hard at his character, and I respect it.
Me too.
He plays kind of like a Weasley VP, I guess.
I guess.
But he's also like giving people jobs on the stockroom floor. Again, who knows how business works. Yeah. But then there's also the mole, as we talked about before.
He also has like the flattest hair possible on a human head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? But he plays this like Weasley kind of character, but not so... over the top Weasley, but they're still, I just appreciate it. It's very specific and weird, but not in a over the top way for a movie that's pretty over the top a lot of the time.
He's not like, he doesn't come off as necessarily like skeevy, right? Like, even though he's like very just like, ooh, I'm a weird little guy. Like, he still doesn't quite have that like King of the Snakes thing going. Like, he's definitely like on that path.
Yeah.
But I don't think it quite hits it.
He plays like a snake, but who's savvy enough.
Oh,
I think it's that savviness.
Like a snake controlling a human suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
That makes him feel a little bit more believable.
Yeah.
But it is so wild. So, yeah, apparently James Spader went to a lot of private schools because his parents taught at different private schools and eventually went to Phillips Academy, which is like, I don't know, where John F. Kennedy Jr. went or whatever. Sure. And then dropped out at 17 to become an actor. Hmm. But that is so amazing to me because it explains how he's able to play such wealthy jerks.
Yeah.
You know, because when I saw him here, I was like, oh, man, he's just like the character in Pretty in Pink. And if you remember, did we watch Pretty in Pink on this? Okay.
No, we did not.
He plays the worst jerk of a best friend / frenemy to Andrew McCarthy, who plays Swifty, who plays Jonathan Sketcher, Switcher.
Taylor Swift.
And and it was so wild to watch this movie where they are mortal enemies. And the whole time I was just like, oh man, I wonder if they got a beer after work every day.
Yeah.
or it was the 80s. They probably did more than beer, but
yeah. Yeah. He was like, if you just took his entire character and just like, I don't know, drew a lizard over it, like over the frames.
Oh, yeah.
And just like inserted him into a Disney movie as a villain sidekick. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to change a single thing about his performance.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Really. Can we also talk about, speaking of good acting, Kim Cattrall is so charming.
She's so like, she has such enthusiasm for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a delight.
Yeah. She really, even though she is kind of just like amused to enable Taylor Swift to do it, she's still a very strong character. A lot of, she's really doing her own thing.
For sure.
And falling in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't ever get the sense that she's like trying to manufacture love so she can be free. She seems very accepting of her lot in immortality.
Well, her main motivation was like, I want to make things. I want to be, you know.
I want to fly and invent things.
Yeah.
She does fly. And I guess she kind of helps create the things.
Yeah. Has she been a statue or whatever for all time? No. Is this always the deal? Like only one person at a time can see her?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Like when she's hanging out with Christopher Columbus, is she like...
Like the thing on the boat?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Figurehead.
Sure.
Masthead. Figurehead.
Yeah. So I guess that's true. She gets to break free of being the muse and gets to be the creator, right, at the end? There, that's the other choice, and I don't know if it was a choice or if the script changed or both. But every time that he seems just gaga in love with her, she has a slight reserve to her reaction.
Yeah.
Where the whole time was like, oh, she's going to dump him so she can move on and do something else.
Yeah.
I don't mean in a, like a brutal way. She just seems sort of like her dreams were bigger than his.
Yeah. Well, she seemed to approach it almost as like, well, of course, like, of course you like me.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you?
Oh, man. Can I just read you a quote from her, from Kim Cattrall?
Please.
And this is from a very old, this is like an article from the time when the movie came out.
Mm.
Wow.
She says, I've become more of a leading lady instead of like the girl. All the other movies that I've done, I played the girl and the plot was around the guy. I've never had anybody to do special lighting for me or find out what clothes look good on me or what camera angles are best for me. In this movie, I learned a lot from it. It's almost like learning from old Hollywood techniques. I've always been sort of a tomboy. I feel great being a girl wearing a dress. That whole idea of just never, like, anyone even considering what clothes look good or what lighting or just, like, literally being there as essentially a mannequin or a muse for the dudes. I don't know. I'm just telling you, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
All the layers. Like a roast
so
beef
many
soup.
Layers. Mm-hmm. Like a roast.
Soup?
Suit. Wow.
Did you say suit?
I said soup, but now I'm thinking about, is roast beef soup layered?
What is roast
beef? What's roast beef soup?
I don't know. It's what you thought I said.
And is it layered?
Is this our inspiration moment?
Yeah, that's right.
This is our window display, roast beef soup?
Yeah.
Great. I have a quick question about window displays.
Yeah.
When Estelle Getty's like, you did it, do it again, did he steal Hollywood's job? I'm unclear what his job is compared to his Jonathan's job.
More than one window.
That is another question I had is, like, people are like, oh my gosh, look at how great this window display is, which makes me think that the prior window displays were not that good. But come on, if Hollywood's making those displays, they must be pretty good.
I think they were good. I think he just did not add a tennis ball that moved.
I see.
It's the movement.
Yeah. It's the
She's probably doing all the mechanics.
She definitely did all the mechanics because she was like, look at this nail gun I almost killed you with.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And for some reason made like a pew pew noise.
Yeah. And also the first window display, he fully passes out and then it's done in the morning.
Yeah.
Like she did the whole thing, right?
She for sure did the whole thing.
Yeah.
A quick, just for people who haven't seen this movie, if you want to understand why Hollywood Montrose is so great, Beth's Beyond Betrothed made the comment that it seems like Jordan Peele's character in the Gremlins 2 sketch is basically this character, and that is absolutely the case.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
He is for sure just doing an impersonation of this character.
I looked up a photo of him, and he's wearing
it's like
those
the same
sunglasses,
right?
Yeah. The like swoopy with the little fin on the side.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing.
Hollywood Montrose. He's the muse. He's the true muse.
Yeah. Really.
Yes, fun. I have no doubt that Prince and Company will continue to be profitable even after.
Yeah.
Because I actually thought it was a very sweet touch at the end.
So is he ordained? Hollywood Montrose is ordained?
Is what?
Is he ordained? Because he's like
I think he did an internet ordination.
In 87?
Okay, but I couldn't tell if he was... Was he performing the ceremony?
I think so. Yeah.
Because there was, okay, he was standing there, and then the couple was standing in front of him,
yeah.
And then Estelle Getty, and then another man who I thought was maybe a priest.
I think so.
It was probably Rocket the dog, who had been reincarnated as a human.
Yes, yeah. Beloved character, Rocket the dog.
Rocket dog.
But it's a very sweet moment because they're modeling and they look like they're mannequins, and then they come to life for the ideas. It's sweet. And
but
then
there's a freeze frame.
The whole movie is weird. By the end, you just accept that this is the best way for it to resolve, except that
disagree.
I would have enjoyed a cut too with her like inventing something cool.
Yeah.
Like, with the dog like running around.
Yeah, Randolph comes up with the rings.
Yeah. Yeah, Rudolph's got a little nameplate that says like vice president of cuddles or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to our final reviews of the movie we just watched, Mannequin, we like to turn to a certain text-based platform, Discord, and we put out the calls for Q's and C's, questions and comments, Molly.
These are for our patrons?
These are for our patrons, and a little bit of drama this week.
Oh.
In that Molly stepped in.
Yes.
Which I support.
Sure.
Normally, it's me, and then... Sometimes when I forget, it's also Dan.
Thank you.
Prompting
and sometimes
people.
It's also Beth.
Oh, I've never done it, I don't think.
Oh,
have I? Mind? I don't know. I do other things.
Beth's doing other things. Yeah,
Beth's busy. Beth's pretty busy.
This is
with
the
other
one thing that the three of us do. This is what we contribute.
Yeah. We can post to a forum every once in a while.
Yeah. And Molly, I don't know if it was a bit or not that you got the date wrong and referred to questions and comments as questions and answers or not. I couldn't tell if you were trolling me or if it was just you just wrong.
We may never know.
We'll never know.
Well, that's my little mystery to figure out.
Yeah.
Anyway, five moon friends.
Fan engagement.
Fan engagement. We're engaging with fans.
Right,
questions and comments.
Ayo.
Joshy asks, Mannequin has long been a guilty pleasure of mine. What are your guilty pleasure films that you return to for comfort from time to time?
Oh. I think Joshy, not to dox him, is Josh Young.
Sounds like you're doxing him.
Wow. It's, that's
I
think. I mean, the names are very similar.
Connect the dots.
Listen, there's certainly evidence
yes.
to suggest it.
Yeah.
I think I would have to answer honestly, Sweet Home Alabama.
Which one is that?
It has Reese Witherspoon, and she plays a woman.
Orlando Bloom?
What?
No, absolutely not.
What am I thinking of?
Something else.
All right.
Are you thinking of Elizabethtown?
Yeah, that movie sucked.
No, in this one, she's originally from Alabama, and she moves to New York and becomes a famous designer and is about to marry basically like a JFK Jr. type.
Mm-hmm.
But Candace Bergman is in it. And
does she meet a cowboy and fall in love?
No, she goes back home to get an official divorce from her. That's one where she's at the bottom of the stairs and she's like, get down here and give me a divorce. It's so cute.
Oh, she has a first husband.
Yeah.
She has a first husband.
Who's not Matthew McConaughey, but might as
really seems like it. I mean, definitely had Matthew McConaughey in mind.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know. There's just something very comforting about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just turn back to it to watch over and over again mindlessly, even though I don't really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
Please don't put on my tombstone, here lies Molly Chase, her favorite movie was Sweet Home Alabama.
Sure. I mean,
which may or may not be a little bit racist. I don't think actually the movie is, but the Sweet Home Alabama, the song.
Just to be clear, none of us have legal authority to say what goes on your tombstone.
I don't know. I've just heard people just sort of whoever is there.
Okay, listeners, sure if you find, for whatever reason, at some point you find yourself in charge of the epitaph for Molly Chase of Totes Recall, let it be known.
She loved Sweet Home.
But don't put that on the gravestone.
The movie, not the song.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, just clarify. Yes.
True. No, I don't care for this song.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, this is going to sound so annoying, but I don't feel bad about the things I like.
Wow.
Oh, that is must, annoying.
Isn't it? Nice.
Okay, but do you have like a comfort movie then?
Do I? I guess it's just like turning on the Hiya channel on Roku.
The what?
There's a Hiya channel on Roku that just plays like mostly Hong Kong action movies.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
I don't do this so much anymore because I don't watch live TV. But like anytime 13 Going on 30 was on or Miss Congeniality.
Oh, yes.
Or Legally Blonde. Yes. I would be like, yeah, I'll watch the rest of this. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with Legally Blonde and Miss Congeniality. Wow, I'm changing my answer. I recently watched Miss Congeniality on a plane.
Okay.
And it was delicious. It was so nice to just go back to something comforting.
Great.
Yeah.
Even though there's a lot of sexual harassment in the workplace in that one.
Oh, no. Sure. See, I haven't even seen it that recently.
See, the FBI seems like it would be on the up and up.
Right.
Oh, that's
but
right.
It's sexually charged with Benjamin Bratt, so we let it slide.
Benjamin Bratt also, free us. Like,
oh, no.
There is some homophobia in it. You know, anyway, don't go back and watch it. Unless you want to go back and watch it.
What is happening?
Oh, no.
Josh,
is that your tombstone?
So your tombstone is, go back and watch. Don't go back and watch Miss Congeniality unless you want to go back and watch it.
Benjamin Bratt's
Benjamin Bratt's
How about you also, Dan?
I'm terrible at, like, rewatching things now. I mean, I certainly, as a child, when I had, you know, no agency or money, and I just watched whatever films we already owned.
Yeah.
I guess, like, for me, like, what you're describing is, like, Point Break.
Like, Point Break rules, though.
I'm just saying, like, that's one of those movies where, like, if I had to come across it, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I can watch this.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I usually mostly, I don't know. Like, I usually just, like, I just go back to, like, random scenes of things that I find on YouTube that, like, pop in my head that delight me. Like at least once a year, I'll go back to that Tim and Eric sketch where Paul Rudd has a computer that has him dancing on the screen.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I have to look that up.
You've never seen it?
No.
It's pretty good.
Celery Man.
Okay.
It's great.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Or I'll just like remember. Yeah, I don't know.
Also 9 to 5.
Great.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
But also good, right? Like you like that you like it.
Well, yeah.
I guess
but
we're
it's comforting.
Comfort. Okay.
Yeah. Also. Great Muppet Caper.
Hell yeah.
Oh, great choice.
I watched that like 100 times.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Office Space.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Great. Thank you, Joshy.
Sorry
Thank
we... You.
I'm sorry I'm shitty at answering questions.
Well, I think we all were pretty shitty at answering this question since none of us arguably answered the question.
I mean, Molly had at least three epithets.
Like five times.
Yeah, but you kept walking back on it.
Listen, I didn't... That was not part
Your
of the question.
Your tombstone is going to be enormous.
Yeah. Which is fine. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Have whatever size
gravestone
you want.
Three of us get to decide. And for my part, I'm fine with Molly having a huge gravestone.
I have issues with it.
Okay. We'll take it up in committee.
Just use tiny font.
We'll take it up in committee.
Yeah, please.
Fra asks, what is more common in film? Ancient Egyptian magic or gods, Native American magic or curses, or ancient Chinese magic?
What was the first part?
What is more common?
Oh.
I mean, they're all bummers most of the time in the way that they're displayed.
I feel like, okay, here's my rundown in my head. I feel like if it's horror, it's Native American. If it's comedy, it's Asian or South Asian.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember another movie where Egyptian magic is involved.
It feels somehow very late 80s, early 90s, Egyptian curses. Feels like tight, but I also
when
can't
did they when did they the start mummy? Sending shit out of that tomb? Was that back in like the 40s or the
30s?
When was the 80s with the that annoying guy that's a Fox News commentator now?
Geraldo
used to be on Geraldo. Yeah, Geraldo Rivera was doing a live breaking into a tomb.
Is that Al Capone?
Oh no, it was Al Capone's safe or something.
Yeah, and there's like nothing in there.
Yeah, LOL.
Gotcha, Geraldo. Idiot. Ruined his career.
Sure did. Yeah, he never worked again.
I mean,
well, and I was also trying to think like Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles came out in the late 80s. So I'm just trying to figure out if there was something in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one? Didn't people open up Tutankhamun's tomb?
But when was that?
In like the 90s or 80s? I feel like I was alive.
Mm. Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Did we like have a war with Egypt in the 80s that I'm forgetting about?
I don't think so.
like a quiet one, like a Reagan war.
Sure.
Oh, that was everywhere.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Was Egypt one of the spots?
Well,
no, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Sorry for being shitty at answering questions.
Thank you for asking them. The reference machine comments, mannequins are one of my deepest fears.
Yes, agreed. Uh-oh.
Friends. Ugh. Fear friends.
The moment she turns... What? The moment she turns into a human, the first moment.
Oh. Jump scare.
So scary.
Yeah, for sure.
No. Yeah. And you know it's coming too, because that mannequin looks a lot like her. Like, yeah. They did a good job.
They did.
Yeah, he was really good at coming.
Six of them with different facial expressions.
Huh.
How, really?
Did you just clocked that from watching the movie?
You
did
counted you count the number of facial expressions in the movie?
No, I did a quick search on a site.
Okay.
Okay. Tetsuga asks, Kim Cattrall, better in Mannequin or Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh.
Hard.
That's hard.
I mean, got a bigger role in this one.
Yes.
But she's very charming. She's very charming and funny in Big Trouble in Little China.
I feel like
she took a good comedy chops there, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like maybe she had a bigger ask in Big Trouble, but not as big of a role, if that makes any sense. Mm. Right? Because like in this one, yeah, like Molly was saying, like she kind of is just like feeling pretty good about herself. Like she's very self-actualized in this movie and she's great.
And she doesn't have to like bust open a door and say, I'm a journalist here to report on what's happening.
Or like, she was like Judy Law or whatever, right? Yeah. She was Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was less cartoony. I think she played this character pretty real, agreed, but in a manner consistent with the over-the-top direction that seemed to be given across the board.
Yeah.
I can't pick one.
You know what? She's just that good.
She's that good. I would pick this movie.
Sorry for being shitty at answering questions.
Beth, do you want to have an opinion?
No. Okay. No, I think she's great in both.
Okay. Loss asks, have you ever been attracted to a department store mannequin? Probably when I was a
probably,
teen.
Probably, yeah, right? I mean, like,
you know, really?
See, like, yeah, man, when you're
teen
like,
boys, oh, it's a nightmare.
Listen.
Okay, now we know why this movie was made. I don't understand it.
When you are awash in hormones, but they've like just started to kick in, like you don't even, it's not even conscious enough. It's like your brain will just be like, that cloud looks like a boob.
Like, why do they give the mannequins nipples?
Yeah.
What's
Jonathan?
That doing? Yeah.
Gotta see. Yeah, what the shirt looks like, I guess.
But it's very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At all temperatures.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like, don't most mannequins not have nipples, though?
I don't know. Kim Cattrall's mannequin definitely has nipples.
It
in the
does,
beginning.
Yes.
We're shown that by the film.
Yeah.
That's what took him a month.
Ah.
You think he added those on?
Absolutely.
Like the default parts are
he's the
nippleless.
Joel Schumacher of mannequins.
That was the thing he was sculpting the whole time.
That's why he's so inspired by it.
Had to get them perfect.
Oh, boy. Jonathan Sculptor.
We haven't said that yet. Oh, yeah. Too obvious.
Yep.
Nipples Switcher. Old Jonathan Nipples Switcher.
Karzad asks, does Mannequin have the same energy as Splash and Weird Science? Yeah. I think
so.
It's good, yeah, it's kind of this 80s.
But isn't Weird Science? Wasn't Weird Science? They were like, she actually was built by horniness?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same.
She was
movie.
Erected by horniness.
Oh, boy.
Molly.
Hell yeah. I love this.
And then Splash. Tom Hanks is horny for a mermaid, right?
Yeah. Tom Hanks is horny in every single one of his movies. Go back and go through Tom Hanks' oeuvre.
What?
Clock it. Clock it. Every single time. At one point, you're just like, that dude is horny.
All right. Well,
Bridge of Spies? Yeah. Horny for those bridges. I've never seen that movie.
Road to
Perdition.
Perdition.
Pemberton. Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm, yeah.
I will say, though, I feel like
horny for mob violence. Sorry.
The energy of this movie is so different than I think any movie I've ever seen.
Mm.
Oh, I can't believe how much I'm enjoying this movie. Yeah, it is so different. Like, it's frenetic and 80s and has the synth music throughout. And so all of the tropes are there, but it's like the dials are turned up, but only in certain areas.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to explain
like this. It's not like wall they actually to wall have bananas. An engineer actually like switching them as it goes. Right?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. Sorry we're shitty at answering questions.
Yeah.
And did you know this film won an Academy Award?
What?
For soundtrack?
For best original song. by Starship.
Oh.
Is that the montage song?
No, that's the, at the, that's the.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
That's written for this movie?
Yeah.
Amazing.
That song slaps.
That song does slap.
We didn't talk about that montage though, which also is insane. That's like their falling in love first montage where they like travel through time costume wise.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But
oh,
apparently
that's what was happening.
Always in the department store, which is insane.
Do you think he was role playing all of her previous lovers through time?
Whoa. Yes.
I do.
Yep. Whoa.
Yep. Now,
I do.
Now we think that that is what was happening.
Wow.
Wow.
She was like kind of giving a history of like her deal.
Yeah. Like her sexual exploits.
Sexual history. Yes.
Sexual history of banging.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
It's a responsible thing to do with a new partner.
It is. Exactly. You must clarify.
I mean, need you to role play all the artists who have come before you.
Who knows what was happening down there in Columbus, man. Like, that dude is probably riddled with disease.
Oh, sure. I mean, he brought disease to the new world.
Yeah. Just.
You know what I mean?
Just like a spoiled pickle down there.
Also, like, just what a crap dude, man.
Columbus?
Yeah.
The position of this podcast, by the way, is that Christopher Columbus sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should stop having a holiday.
I'll stand by that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's like the first thing I've agreed with.
Maybe ever.
On the position of the podcast. Yeah.
Not local the director. Reference.
Get rid of that fucking statue, unless we already did.
It has gotten to the point.
Didn't they pull it down?
Yeah, but didn't.
A couple years ago?
I don't remember.
What get pulled down?
A Columbus statue in front of the Capitol.
Oh, sorry.
I don't remember.
Okay.
It got pulled down. I don't know if
it
got pulled
back down.
Up. I don't know if it was re-erected or not, Molly.
No, it's not been re-erected.
Good.
Maybe it's in some rich Italian-American
I mean, I'm sure there's like 1,000 other
so
Columbus
many.
Statues
yes.
in the cities.
Yeah, take them down.
Yeah.
I just want to say that certain things have become so prevalent on this podcast that they have infected my regular life.
Go for it.
And one of them is also Dan, and only also Dan's assertion that it is the canon of this podcast that there should be more flaccid dong.
Oh, no, that's, I mean, that's a universal truth podcast-wide.
Yeah. And also the fans are clamoring
for it. Fans are clamoring for it.
Literally nobody is
clamoring. I watched
it's our Eastern promise
on
that
a
we want more.
Large streaming service, I watched The Righteous Gemstones, and there is flaccid dong
in
almost every episode.
It's amazing.
And
it's
every
amazing.
Time it came on, I was like, Dan Linden would love this.
I did. I watched that show, and every time I was like, I salute the TV.
Yeah, well, it doesn't salute
I
that.
Send a dollar. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, hey, Beth.
Don't want equality.
Yeah. Sorry you didn't want. Yeah.
I think I just broke
them. Guess we'll just go back to exclusively objectifying women in all media. If that's what you want, Beth. More nipples on mannequins. That's the Beth Gibbs way.
Our rating scale, as we all remember, is Mannequin Shenanigans.
Yes.
Which is a prank show created and run by mannequins. The magical mannequins a la Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
In which they get people into situations and then turn into mannequins?
I think that's the central conceit of the pranks, right?
Okay, yeah. Great.
Or they start out as mannequins and then become animated.
Oh, sure.
But either way, they freak people out.
Yeah. People get freaked out.
It's fun.
It's a mannequin shenanigan.
They say it every time.
Yeah. And Dan, you gave it 4.
Yes.
You thought it would be wild and you would enjoy it.
Yes.
Mannequin shenanigan. You're watching the shenanigans. It's on at 8 Central Time. Mannequin shenanigans. Watch out. Might be a shenanigan.
So they were.
See that again. It's a shenanigan.
Just to be clear.
In slow mo. It's a shenanigan.
So just to be clear, they were confident enough in the stain part of the show that they wrote the airtime into the lyrics of the theme song.
Yes.
Wow.
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 That's
that
confidence.
Is ballsy.
They had some really
strong
footage of the head of the studio.
Oh, blackmail.
Yeah.
I see.
Wow.
So that's the best way
to compromising position with a mannequin.
Yes. Probably. Yeah. Oh, the first prank, the first shenanigan.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had to green light the whole series.
Yeah. Just they work for the CIA.
Keep his marriage together. What?
You think the show is a psyop? They work for the CIA?
I do.
I do. I also think that.
Mannequin. Oh, mannequins. We're definitely not part of the CIA. Mannequin.
He's got radioactive blood. That explains the mannequins. They're filled with radioactive blood.
Oh.
And seed, of course. Of course. I hate this. Remember, this is all Molly's fault. 100% Molly.
Listen, so we had that theme song professionally recorded. I don't know why you're all upset.
No one's upset.
No one's upset.
No one's mad.
No one's mad.
We're having
Beth
fun.
Is
having
ready fun. For this podcast to be over.
It's true. Forever.
Dave, wow. You gave it a 4. Wow. How about now?
Yeah, it was wild. It was like, it wasn't as wild as I was, like, I was expecting to be like fully, like, having a breakdown like I was with Casper, where I'm just like, why is this sudden? Like, what are these choices that are being made? But the choices, as absurd as they often were like pretty consistent. Like, I feel like there weren't that many like curveballs thrown into the movie. It was just kind of straightforward. Like, mannequin's alive. He's going to bang the mannequin. And other people want the mannequin for reasons they even don't fully understand. Yeah, I don't know. It was ridiculous. I'll give it a 4. I'll stick to 4 for my main man, Hollywood Montrose, if nothing else.
Yep.
With that car. Oh, goddamn. The longest catalog in the world.
And he takes the time to put a cover over it.
Which says Hollywood on it.
Cover.
Yep. Was that a Cadillac? I don't know cars. I'm dumb.
I don't know what car it was. It was huge.
Pink. Huge.
Pretty sure it was a Cadillac.
Great.
Okay. Car expert has spoken.
Yeah, I know so much about cars.
Beth Gearhead Gibbs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want more?
No, I'm just like.
Are you trying to think of a Marissa Tomei joke? Because I am.
Why?
No. Because.
Because of My Cousin Vinny.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
This
my biological
has gone off the rails. This is exactly why Josh picked this movie. I think Josh knew it would just like subtly break our brains in such a way where like we would just slowly lose it as the night went on.
Yeah, I was trying to merge Gibbs and Gearhead. Gearb's head. But then also the K was like, I was trying to make the K something. And the
Beth Carr Gearb.
Beth Carr Gearb's head.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Beth Carr Gears.
I believe I gave it 4.
I believe that's true.
That's right. You gave it 4. You thought it'd be fun.
I think it was fun. I enjoyed it and had a good time. Do I have any more information than that? I do not. It was fun.
Great.
Okay.
4.
Stick it with it. All right. I also gave it a 4. Don't remember why. But I went through a journey thinking about what to rate this. I was originally thinking, like, I enjoyed that a lot. Maybe I should go higher than I predicted. Mm-hmm. But then I tell you, I was buoyed by Molly's brain breaking of, like, is this a multi-layered roast beef soup of a movie? Yeah. And I think it might be. So I'm going up to 5.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
The soup has spoken.
That's right. You gave it a 4.5.
Yeah.
Expecting to either go 5 or 0.
And indeed, I am going 5.
Wow.
Whoa.
Thank you, Josh Hollywood Young.
Whoa.
For Holly suggesting Young. This movie. I have not. Are you trying to do
you
something
just
right now?
He's just
I'm always trying to do something.
Oh my God.
It really broke my brain. I'm pretty sure it's art. I think it is a
you made a solid case.
Thank you. I will add to that case, not at all, and just give it a 5.
Wow.
Great.
It sounds like we're in a full season of Mannequin Shenanigans from this table.
Oh, yeah. If you add it all up.
Yeah. Or at least a streamer season.
Oh, yeah. Those jerks.
What?
That's what streaming services do now, is they make the first deal, like, whether the show does well or doesn't do well.
Yeah.
If it just does a season, they just get a flat rate, like,
right.
Show creator.
Yeah.
And then they don't get, like, a big increase until, like, seasons 2 or 3, it goes way up, which is why all my favorite shows have gotten killed after 1 season or maybe 2 seasons.
Maybe 2, yeah. Well, maybe the new agreement between the Writers Guild and the producers, whatever that stands for, have changed the game. Fran Drescher, hail, Fran
all
Drescher.
All our hopes. Yeah. All our hopes Fan
Roxy
on you.
Seemed like kind of like they couldn't get Fran Drescher.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Or she did great. I don't want to put her down, but I feel like Fran could have also played that role.
For sure.
She had similar energy.
You know, I wonder if all of them were like, we need you to play to Fran Drescher's energy. Mm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she was the muse for the whole thing.
Because
the whole thing...
Was she a mannequin on set? Was she the one left in the store?
Oh! The one that was, like, looking so sad in the corner? Yeah. That seems right.
That was not an accident.
Because the Egyptian god sent her to the future, and she learned she'd be the president of the Writers Guild of America at a time when the networks...
When they need you.
And they need her, mm-hmm. Yes.
And just to go back to the artistry of this movie, please. The last time we see the window before the wedding, it is set up to be ancient Egypt. Yes. It has sand there, and it has a woeful woman in the corner.
And a little sphinx.
Yeah.
She's stolen from the Egypt setup.
Ruby the dog was inside that sphinx.
Oh, and
at a certain point, the sphinx just stands up on like four little bulldog legs, and it just... No, it's not.
Oh, I thought you meant that he was dead and mummified.
No!
I don't know. You're the one who thought he was dead.
Well, then he can be with Kim Cattrall in the afterlife.
Oh, my God.
And travel through time together. That's cool.
I was just trying to get to the idea of a cute little sphinx prop that suddenly stands up on four little bulldog legs.
Yeah, that's great.
And hobbles off. That would be so cute.
Yeah, but it didn't happen, so Rambo's dead.
When does this come out?
87.
No, this episode.
Oh.
87.
Whoa.
Sending
2000.
It back.
2000.
Wow.
Send us your fat babies and pets for Halloween.
Yes.
Is that timely?
Yes, it is.
This'll
just
come out
around the corner.
Yes, nice. Okay.
Dress up your bulldog like a sphinx.
And send it to Molly.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Your tombstone. Ooh.
Wow. Bold move to put a pet in a costume on your as your epitaph,
like a picture.
Yeah, but like carved in there, right?
Can't you do like a thing now where you can like have a little fresco or something? And
you put a TV on there?
Probably, yeah.
Solar powered TV. Why not? Or something?
You just watch
trademarked.
Okay, so what do you want to put on the TV? The dog?
Yeah, like a slideshow of the dog.
Oh, like a slideshow. I thought it was just gonna run like episodes of Benson or something, like nonstop.
Benson? You mean Becker?
No, I'm just
the Ted Danson show?
Yeah, where he's a dentist, right?
I thought he was a doctor.
I thought he worked in a bar. Or doctors? Sorry, that's Cheers.
What? Jetpack dog? Wow, you're in a Sphinx costume.
Wow, I'm back. It's me, Jetpack Dog.
Did you just come from ancient Egypt, Jetpack Dog?
That's right. I've traveled all the way there with the moral of the episode, which is...
You can dance.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, honestly.
Everything's under control.
Good lesson, Jetpack Dog.
You can wrap up the podcast. Oh, we said everything we're going to say now.
Wow. Thank you and sorry to Josh Young.
It's 3 a.m. I must be over.
You did this. You did this, Josh. Congratulations.
It's been a while.
Oh my gosh, Molly's broken.
We literally, mannequin has truly broken Molly. Now this is art, baby.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.